Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I love this story because a couple years ago I saw this. Lake Superior State University. Yes, there is a Lake Superior State University in Michigan. You may remember back in 2019, they made history when they came out with their cannabis chemistry program. Yes, you can go to college and study pot. Yes, somebody thought it was let's bring a bunch of people in to study chemistry with pot. They now are offering $1,200 scholarships to all of the LSSU, Lake Superior State University students. I can't imagine what that line looks like. And if they make their money back up on the vending machines that they put outside the door. Just kind of a thought. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day. I've asked our good friend Matthew Chapman to come talk with us. Matthew's a reporter over at the fabulous Raw Story. Matthew, thanks for taking time for us.
Glad to be here, Rick.
So what do you think? Cannabis chemistry program.
Certainly sounds interesting. I would say that it's a badly understudied field because of the years of strict controls of controlled substance. So, you know, we need all the information that we can get with a ton of states now legalizing recreational use, including my own state of Nevada. We need to know a lot more about the effects. It can help us understand how to sensibly regulate it, make sure that people can, you know, have fun, can use it for medical purposes, and, you know, stay safe.
So you went that way. I was going the Cheech and Chong route. A bus down by the river with two guys falling out of it when the door opens, just smoke everywhere. But that's probably the direction they're going, I would guess, right?
Yeah, I think so. It certainly does sound like a fun field of study.
There you go. Well, but they're offering $1,200 scholarships, and I'm sure the line is quite long. Let's get to the top stories of the day. Florida. Let's start with Florida. The men from Florida. Matt Gaetz says not going to resign. We find out that he tried to beg for a pardon, a blanket pardon, before Trump left. Thoughts?
Well, based on the new reporting, it's not entirely clear whether Gaetz knew the extent of the investigation. However, what does seem to be clear is that the investigation was going on at the time that he asked Trump for a pardon for himself and for a bunch of his friends. So, you know, it's just not a good look for him at the moment. And I would say that the timing of the information getting out is probably not a coincidence either. I think that there's a lot of people close to him who can tell that he's vulnerable and who basically just want to air all his dirty laundry.
No, it's interesting to see, because all of this stuff doesn't just happen. I believe all this stuff is done for a purpose. It's coordinated. Same thing with Cuomo in New York. None of this stuff, in my view, is new. This is the kind of person he was all along. It's just interesting how now it's coming out in a very coordinated fashion, much like this stuff with Gaetz. Now, Gaetz is a dirtbag. There's no question about that. But it's interesting how it just keeps slowly popping out.
Exactly. I mean, there is, and it's really interesting that you brought up Cuomo as an example, because that's also very instructive. There are people in politics who have all these kinds of skeletons in their closet for years, and everyone close to them knows it, but nobody really wants to speak up because they seem politically invincible. They have credibility with the public, with their constituents, and there's just not a desire to step on toes. And then once things finally start coming out, once that person is politically damaged, then the floodgates open and everyone realizes that they no longer have to fear not being taken seriously.
So I look at someone like Gaetz, and walk with me on this, if you will, because I'm looking at Gaetz and I'm looking at the Republican Party, them going, we got to find a soul. We've got to find a path. We got to get rid of the crazy. I said that the Democrats should have never gone after Marjorie Taylor Greene, should have left her right where she was. That's a Republican problem. Should have left them to deal with that. Gaetz is a Republican problem. I see this being not a liberal or Democrats doing this. I see this as Republicans trying to get rid of him.
That's certainly possible. I mean, all the indicators are that Republicans aren't going to come out and call for him to resign unless he's actually indicted. But I would not be surprised if a lot of the people leaking this information are his former Republican friends and people in his circle.
Yeah, I mean, because at some point you got to get, if you're the Republican Party, you've got to get rid of some of these, you know, I'm not going to say characters, because that makes it sound like they're fun and they're interesting. You got to get rid of some of the real problems in your party. I look at Gates. I look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. I look at, you know, the gun nut woman, Boebert. You know, there's a bunch of them that have kind of gotten into Congress on, you know, some. Yeah, they got a little popular and they won the popularity contest, and now they're kind of screwing things up for not just the Democrats but for the Republicans too.
Yeah, people like Gates are really they're the sort of person who's everywhere fighting every fight that they can. You know, Gates is one of the few members of Congress who's actually replied to me when I commented about him on Twitter. That which should tell you something about how much he loves confrontation.
No, and he's thin-skinned. I mean, there's no question about that. If you said something bad about him, he was gonna respond to it instead of like I do.
You know, it's funny. You know, until the last few weeks or so, I would have said that like the one possible redeeming quality about the guy is that he seems to have a sense of humor about himself. But I don't think he does. I don't think he does right now in the middle of all this.
Yeah, I mean, going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, early on, my sense was if he did have sex with a 17-year-old, that's a crime. He goes to jail. If it were my 17-year-old daughter, we would have a very long conversation with very few words. If he took her across state lines, that is a federal crime. There are places to go to jail for that. Other than those things of, you know, having, you know, paying people or taking pictures of other adults and showing them around, that's not a crime in my view. He's just a dirtbag. But that young girl, if that's true, he should go to jail.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's worth noting that even if he is, you know, dodges the bullet on that sort of charge, they're looking into a lot of other things. Like, I mean, there have been reports that he might have involved campaign money in his encounters with women. And, you know, that is going to be a crime, even if the women are all overage.
No, that would be great. You're using campaign dollars to pay hookers. Didn't Jerry Springer get caught for that years ago? A check that bounced. I'm sorry. He tried to pay a hooker with a check that bounced. That's what got him into trouble. Mm. None of this stuff is new. And this is one of those moments where you just go, I don't care about that so much. But there are laws that were broken. If it was campaign money, then you know, those are laws. You broke them. You knew what you were doing. You go. But all of the consenting adult stuff, I have no interest in.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree.
Let's move along. Trump, evidently, it's turned out that he's been ripping off some of his faithful. Is there any surprise that this would be going on?
I mean, it's honestly not that surprising to anybody who follows him. I mean, he's built his whole brand on projecting success and then urging people who join him and be a part of that success, and along the way, pay him an enormous amount of money. Way more than they can afford, and they'll ultimately end up with nothing because it's always a con.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at. There's a great picture that was banging around on the internet, and I'm sure you've seen it with Stephen Miller, where they took a picture talking about Woca-Cola, and he tries to hide the bottle of Coke behind something while he's talking about boycotting Coke. You can see that there's actually a bottle off to the side.
Yeah, we saw that. You know, one of the things that blew my mind about this new reporting is that for a time, it's like something like 2-3% of all credit card fraud complaints in the entire United States were people unhappy that Trump's campaign was double billing them.
Wow. Say that again. I think that's important. Say that again.
Yeah. So some of the reporting that I've seen suggests that 2 to 3% of all credit card fraud complaints in the U.S. for a time during the, while this was going on, was people upset about the double payments and recurring payments to Trump's campaign.
I mean, when you stop and think about this, I mean, there are foreign countries that are spending as much time as they possibly can do to defraud the credit card system. Trump was at 2 to 3% of it. I mean, that's an enormous amount.
It really is. It's just staggering.
Wow. And I understand they paid some of it back, right?
And the most amazing thing is it's not even clear that what he did is illegal. It was clearly shady, but, you know, technically the law might give him some wiggle room given that he did put all the disclaimers on the site. He just tried to hide them.
Yeah, I don't think it was illegal. I think it's just Trump being Trump. And as I tweeted out the other day when I saw the story, I'm like, you know, this is what you get. You know what's that thing? A fool and his money soon parted. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I would be inclined to just laugh it off if it weren't for the fact that a lot of the people scammed out of this were retirees who really don't have any money.
Yeah, but doesn't this come to the place where you shouldn't have been giving him money in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my sympathy. I say that I have sympathy, but only to a point.
Let's get to January 6th. I'm sure you saw the clip, Donald Trump saying it wasn't a big deal. There was zero threats. In fact, you know, people were hugging and kissing the police. They had great relationships, all of that stuff. It was a wonderful thing. And they're now persecuting those poor people who just walked in and walked out. They didn't do anything wrong. We're now seeing that there are some plea agreements moving forward.
I mean, it's hard to dignify that with a response, but I guess the response I would have to that is that Brian Sicknick certainly was not hugged to death.
Yeah, no. And the, 150 policemen who were off because they were beaten and bruised, and they weren't hugged. I guess if you really hugged aggressively. But, you know, it's just crazy to me. But now we're seeing some of these people who are coming up for prosecution. And there's actually talk of, you know, some of them maybe not seeing jail time.
Yeah, so there's been a debate about this that for weeks in the Justice Department. And, you know, it is kind of a challenge for them because prosecuting somebody takes a lot of time and resources. So, you know, there have been some people who want to go after all of them, make an example of all of them. And there are some who want to focus on the people who caused violence, destruction of property, and maybe not focus quite so heavily on the people who were just guilty of trespassing.
I think every one of them who were in there, they have to do some jail time.
Ideally, I think you're completely right.
You don't get to do that and walk away. Now the ringleaders, you absolutely go full tilt boogie after all of them. But especially these Oath Keeper folks who are, they were planning this stuff. And in fact, what's interesting to me is there was a story, you know, just the other day, I think it was the New York Times that did it, that evidently they're following their phone calls and their social media posts. They were basically broadcasting their treason and either one are really stupid and didn't understand that what they were doing could be traced and found out, or two, they were just so arrogant that they didn't care, or both.
I think it was the second one. I think at least some of them clearly knew what they were doing was illegal. They just viewed themselves as freedom fighters. They thought that Trump was going to be reinstalled and everything would be okay, or else they thought that even if it failed, that, you know, hey, They're not. The government's not going to go after them.
Yeah, it's just an interesting time. Now, COVID cases are heading down. In fact, Sunday we had the lowest number of deaths since about a year ago. 222 people on Sunday, which is going in the right direction. The number of cases are we're heading in the right direction, but we still have the anti-mask crowd running around. I look at what's going on with that Ammon Bundy, and also, I guess, the Republican Governor Greg Gianforte of Montana, He now is contracted the COVID.
He has. And the funny thing is, he actually just received his first Pfizer dose. Obviously, you know, a single dose isn't going to give full protection, and you know, it also, and even then, it takes a couple of weeks to get immune. I've heard some reports that he had voluntarily delayed his vaccination, though. So, you know, at the end of the day, I wish him well. I wish him a speedy and uneventful recovery. But you know, his example should be cautionary. We all need to be as careful as possible.
I hope it body slams him like he did to that reporter. I hope he's okay. I hope on the other side of it, he's fine. He lives a long, healthy, prosperous life. But for the short term, I'd like to see him body slammed like that reporter. And finally, Bundy, evidently the anti-mask case. What's going on there?
Well, he's obviously best known for his involvement in the occupation of that wildlife refuge in Oregon. Since then, he's become kind of a crusader against mask mandates, staging all these demonstrations, and it's ultimately led to criminal charges for him. And one of the funny things is that he was actually charged with failure to appear, because when he showed up to court, he refused to wear a mask into the building, and they couldn't let him in the building.
That's great. Yeah, this is one of those things where you just go, yeah, just wear the damn mask. How hard is that?
Imagine having this twisted a notion of what freedom is.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, in the perfect world, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, you find a right-wing crazy person like this who goes, well, you know, he might have been infected. I had to stand my ground. I might have to shoot him. I mean, this is how, when you get to these weird kind of stances where common sense no longer is common, this is sadly where this stuff could go. I mean, he could be infected, like that Gianforte guy could be infected. I don't want to be around someone who's infected. He refuses to protect himself or me. He might have to go.
Absolutely. I mean, it is absolutely vital that we just take simple measures to protect ourselves and the people around us.
Crazy. Just crazy.
It is really not that onerous to wear a mask out in public.
No, but look, I'm sure he's making a lot of money off of this. There are a lot of, you know, again, there are a lot of Trump supporters who don't mind being double billed, because ultimately they weren't all of the people didn't come forward and complain, just a pretty good sizable chunk. So you got to wonder how many people he's still fleecing this to this day. It's incredible stuff.
Yeah, cool.
Matthew, I appreciate the time. As always, great talking with you. I hope people check out the website, rawstory.com. You guys do incredible work. Always love having you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I'd be happy to come on again anytime.
Anytime. I appreciate it, man. Our good friend Matthew Chapman. Make sure you check out his work over at Raw Story. Quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.